You're listening to DraftKings Network.
OG. Make some
noise! Today on the Cooligans, in the first segment, we talk about our trip. We're going back to Dallas for the Independent Supporters Conference. Also, BT Martinez going to Atlanta, going to the airport. But it's a little too early for BT. He don't want to be that early. Get me a better flight. Also, we talk about the drama in Chicago.
Absolutely. And remember, if you do go to the airport for these players, you better bring nice, comfortable shoes, because you're now a member of TSA. All right. Also, in the second segment, we do it. We released the interview with Jermaine Jones. That's right. How messy does it get in here? It's so messy, we might get hired by Barcelona. Okay? That's it. That and more on this episode of the Cooligans!
Hey, this is Alexi Lalas. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby!
The day has finally come.
It's Jermaine Jones Day here on the podcast.
It's a new holiday. It's official. Donald Trump has declared it Jermaine Jones Day.
It's the official.
It's a federal holiday.
Yeah. Well, everything shut down. That's right. The federal government has issued a red card.
Yes. It's the government shutdown sponsored by Jermaine Jones.
Oh, dude. I cannot wait for the fans to listen to this podcast. Please don't. Please don't fast forward to the interview. You know how we do. We got a lot of goodness.
Yeah, we'll whet your appetite a little bit.
That's right. You're going to be wet.
To get you ready for it. But welcome to the show, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Jermaine Jones Guerreros.
Yes, we are your favorite stand-up comedians that host a soccer podcast, and it's not only the funniest soccer podcast that you're going to listen to. It is also What Alexis Jermaine Jones Guerreros.
It just so happens to be the goddamn gulliest right? Soccer podcast in the world. And thank you for calling me my government.
Yes, of course, and I have to on such an important day.
Yes, yes.
But yes, welcome to the show. We are the Cooligans, and this podcast is not just a just another comedy podcast about soccer, right?
No, it is not.
This is something that it's almost like the reason the Cooligans exist is for today's episode.
There's no one else. Nobody. There's just nobody. I don't care if you work for ESPN. I don't care if you've been doing a podcast for years. I don't care if you're two bald British dudes in sports jackets. I don't care who you are. There is no one in the world that could have had this conversation that we had with Jermaine Jones.
Okay.
And it was just
I don't know, maybe his lawyer?
No, there were other people that should have had this conversation with Jermaine Jones, but there's no one that could have had this conversation.
That's right.
With Jermaine Jones. And we're not going to make this the Jermaine Jones podcast, but it is Jermaine Jones Day here on the Cooligans.
Very much so. So we're going to get to the interview in a moment, but there's...
you know what we mean when we say a moment. A moment. Like an hour, hour and a half.
Give or take, all right?
You know.
But it's significant, and more importantly, over anything, it's funny. This is a serious issue. We're adding a little bit of levity to it, even though we're not the ones to break down and completely comprehend what is going on in this man's personal life.
No, but you know what we did? We allowed him the opportunity to add levity himself.
Yes,
and that boy took it. You know, like a young academy player who gets put in the 18 and he's backing up the left back or something, and that guy gets an injury. He he took his opportunity.
This is my time.
Yeah.
So that's why this is like kind of significant for us. So again, we're just to remind, if people are listening to us for the first time, we are two stand-up comedians in New York that just love soccer. And then we started doing this soccer podcast, and we were like,
this wee little soccer podcast.
Can I have a little wee soccer podcast, please?
Just a scotch of a soccer podcast.
So for us to get to the point of just an idea of, you know, having two comics talk about soccer, to get to the point where we're talking to a men's national team legend that on top of that is going through a crisis in his life.
He's going through a lot in his personal life. And he also has a history of talking shit on Instagram, and we bring it all.
We're just like, yo, Jermaine, just take that off of Instagram and bring that energy to our podcast.
Yeah. You know how, like, in an Instagram story, you say whatever you want, you're like, it's whatever, it goes away in 24 hours? Imagine it live forever on our podcast.
So it's we have a good time, and I think...
so does he.
So look, and just to... Because the people who have been following Jermaine Jones is... IG stories, and you know, the people who didn't get in before was made private.
Oh, we got in before the lock.
And
by the way, we have like three different like group chats and DM groups all talking about Jermaine Jones' Instagram.
My only disclaimer, and this is, you know, I can't speak for Alexis because, you know, I have. You know, I care for others.
A wider vocabulary.
I care for other human beings. And
so do I. As long as I'm making money. No, I'm joking.
So I think the subject with his life and with his wife and family, it is very complicated and personal. And you know, a lot of even seeing a person like divulge all this personal stuff on social media, you start to worry about their well-being.
You know what's funny? So you and I had this long conversation about when we started posting about his Instagram, should we or should we not?
Sure.
Right? And I almost didn't care what you had to say because I had my mind made up. But also, like, I think about it from how lucky are we as comics that if something bad happens in our life, if you came up to me and you were like, yo, XYZ happened, this is messed up, I'd be like, yo, you're going to have new 20 minutes. Like, that's the reaction of every comic. But we also get that cathartic, you know, opportunity to go up on stage and just release all of it. And we make it into a joke. And we take that to our normal lives, which is why most of our family members are like, or at least mine, are like, we can't invite you to funerals anymore. You know what I mean? Because that's how I handle rough situations. I make a joke out of it. That's why I ended up being a comic, right? He's kind of doing the same thing. He's getting on his platform and he's saying, yo, this is how I deal with it.
This is my hilarious German comedy.
Yeah, this is my truth. And it's sad, really. And first of all, there's no joke. I'm just telling you what happened.
Hey, Jermaine, where's the punchline? Yeah,
my guy, there's a lot of setup and premise. Maybe hit us with a tag, a button, do something, will you?
Yeah, so.
But this is how he handles it.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. You'll hear in the interview, and again, we're not here to analyze the interview before you hear it. But I think what you'll hear is us trying to let him know we're here to have fun, but also let's soft step it. And the other thing is, no one's trying to get in this dude's face. Like, we all know what he's capable of.
Trust me. Yeah, I was definitely intimidated.
He is a tiny, wasted man, and I was so scared of him.
So the main thing is that I was concerned about, and I know when talking to him and my main concern was, you know, some of the stuff comes off as, and like, if you know, you'll hear about it. Well, actually, no, you won't hear about it specifically in the interview. But the groundwork is he caught his wife cheating on him, and then he started going on IG, kind of blasting her, and doing these weird things, almost like manipulating the kids to choose sides and like weird stuff like that.
I mean, some of that wasn't, you know, that's not for us to say whether it's his family, I don't care about that, but. But you're right. But I think the point is that the reason why it was so intriguing to us is because he was claiming his wife cheated on him.
Yeah.
And then he claimed, oh, my bad, I may have jumped to a conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately later discovered evidence of it.
Sure.
And then he started, you know, not threatening, but, you know, making, you know, comments to suggest that he knew who it was. All this allegedly, by the way. So we brought up that sort of roller coaster of it. And he was like, "Oh, if you want to open, you want to come inside, just come in and relax." You know, so we were like, so, oh, "Okay."
So the main reason I'm saying all of this to begin with is like I was concerned to sort of get to know like is he really this like unstable dude, you know? And I'll be honest, like and I don't know what how this will all end, but after talking to him, I can genuinely say I'm like he seems really sincere about the fact that he was hurt. So
yeah, well, I mean, I think you could see that in the stories too.
Exactly, but
even to the stories today, when he's like,
but talking to him in person, that was important for me to capture and really see that, as opposed to being like, "Yo, is this too crazy? That's gonna go attack his wife." You know?
Yeah,
what I mean? That's what like.
That's the one thing that I think people will appreciate from the interview is that you can tell this isn't a vindictive human being.
Yeah,
this is someone who's like, "How do I deal with this immense amount of pain?"
Yes, you know? and so that is the only.
Because we're like, do you want to inflict an immense amount of pain, or do you want to deal?
So that's the kind of the disclaimer, because this is like it is a serious subject, and I don't want to lose sight on the possible. Like, these things go awry, especially when it comes to divorces, domestic disturbances, or
but
issues
hey, also,
like that.
Dude, he's jumping on Instagram and making it messy.
Exactly.
Let's talk about it. We're a soccer podcast. We're supposed to talk about Messi. All right, this is my Lionel Messi.
That's in the contract.
This is my Lionel Messi right here.
So you guys are going to enjoy it. It's incredible. We still cannot believe it happened. All we want to let you know is like, it was a big deal that it even happened. Thank you for everyone who helped us get to this point. For him to sit down and even say yes is wouldn't happen without your support and you listening
to this
show.
This is all because of Gully Squad.
Sure. And also the people who listen.
All of our fans. But no, yeah, but yeah. Like us being able to get out there and do those types of things.
Huge.
Huge honor for us. And if you wanted more stuff like this, if you know someone who's getting messy on Instagram and you want us to interview them, soccer player or not, you know, we'll go press up, a teenager. What you doing? Why you getting on Instagram like this for? If this is something you're into, join Gully Squad.
Exactly.
You know?
So feel free.
The more people that join, the better this is,
exactly.
And the more content like this we could do, and what a goddamn honor this was.
So, yeah, soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad. So, we'll get to that interview in a bit. Let's talk about a couple things going on. First, big news, this Friday, this weekend, we're going to be in Dallas again for the Independent Supporters Conference.
Sprat.
All right. So we're excited to be there. So if you guys, we talked about it a little bit before, maybe a couple episodes ago, but the Independent Supporters Conference is exactly what it sounds like.
Or is it the council?
I think it's
conference
the
conference for the council.
I that's my guess, but
all right,
it's one of those. So, I mean, it's one of the two. We're 50-50 shot. So the cool thing is all the supporters from like all the presidents of the supporters of all the like MLS clubs, they'll come out to a different city every year and organize and trade ideas on like how to be a supporter, how to do TIFOs, like
TIFO 101.
Exactly. Like a couple seminars. We went to the United Coaches.
Couple breakdowns.
United Soccer Coaches Conference, and there were people giving seminars on, hey, you gotta do this, and
flares, are they for us?
Exactly. You need to have that class,
right? Absolutely.
But
how to get Nazis out of your group? There's a lot of really important breakdown sessions.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. I was like, the professor is just an FC St. Pauli fan.
Yeah. Well, there's one way, and there's two official ways: is the left fish and the right fish. End of breakdown. More beer, please. I don't know what accent that was, by the way.
So I've heard the people who've gone to it before, they always say that it is, they usually leave very like inspired for like new ideas, and it is like a good TED Talk conference for soccer supporters.
Right? Yeah, and I don't know that this happens in other countries. I mean, it would be bloodshed if it did, right?
Sure. The Tottenham and Arsenal just hanging out together.
All right, come on, all right. Stone Island. Are we still into it?
So, the cool thing that we're going to be doing is we're going to be doing stand-up for these supporters, and this is just a dream come true for us. You know, we want to be doing stand-up for soccer fans. So this is, just like we did the World Cup Comedy Tour, this is just another step in that direction. So this is We're just absolutely stoked. This is gonna be super, super fun, and we're gonna have the opportunity to do jokes. Like, even at the comedy shows that we did during the World Cup comedy tour, there were like not non soccer fans there occasionally.
Yeah.
So they were like, they would laugh at the regular jokes, and then soccer jokes, they'd be like, I don't know what this is all about.
Well, you can hear the change in the room.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I made a reference in Chicago, like, something's on fire, and I go, come on, what is this, a Toronto FC match?
Yeah.
And, like, 90% of the room is laughing. You see one lady just, like, looking around, like, the hell are y'all laughing at? The hell is a TFC match? And I'm like, yeah, it's a reference.
So that'll be, like, the luxury, that we can kind of make very specific jokes about a very specific nerdy thing that we're into.
Yeah.
So we're absolutely stoked about that. So,
and we cannot wait to get back to those breakfast tacos. Come on.
Quote unquote we.
Yeah.
Right?
The royal we.
So that's going to be dope. So next up, we always show some love to the people who show love to the Cooligans on iTunes. We are trying to get to them 400 reviews. We're almost there. We're at 338. Help us move forward. So the
we should start doing like a giveaway for these, like the funniest review. You get like a sticker or something.
Sure, we can. Yeah, but why not?
We should do something.
Leave
like
a funny, leave a super funny review, and just, I don't know, ask us for a sticker.
Yeah, if we read it,
hit us
and
up.
And you want a sticker? If we read your review, hit us up if you want a sticker.
This was one of my favorites. This happened on January 16th. This review was left, and it said. It's from Addicted 2027. So I don't know what he's addicted to. Hopefully,
Hopefully
it's the Cooligans, right? And the subject says, not for kids. Okay, so it's all 5 stars. So I think we sort of know where this is going, right?
This is
okay.
If I had a child, this is going to be my. This is a reason why I may have kids. Is the end of this review?
So Addicted 2027 says, I realized I couldn't listen in the car with my kids when my 4-year-old started saying "my guy" and "gully squad." Says great show, definitely recommend. Just be careful who you listen with or you get a little ginger kid who sounds like Alexis Guerreros.
My wife is a redhead. That would be amazing. Just a little redhead running around going, hey, yo, this oatmeal is cold, my guy.
So, yes.
It's not for kids. 5 stars.
I mean, this doesn't necessarily suggest that it's not for kids. Like, if you want your kid to turn out just like Alexis Guerreros, which most people don't.
I know. I would say you got a unique one on your hands. So, Okay,
just keep in mind that the teen years are going to be difficult.
No, for everybody else, because your boy is going to be styling on them.
So thank you so much, Addicted 2027.
And this is Keith30XI.
Okay.
They quoted you in a review.
That's right. We know Keith. This is Keith Nas from for Columbus, a big Columbus Crew fan, and he came out to the show.
Very, very active on Twitter with us, which I love. Soccer pod crash that somehow jams all you need in a tight space.
Okay,
which I just want to give you. You gave us 5 stars. I want to give you one for that. Sorry to the 4-year-old redhead listening to that. Christian Polanco, he quotes Christian Polanco as saying, honestly, if you want to hear us scold Alexi, meaning Alexi Lalas, for being so wrong, then this is the podcast for you.
Okay, yeah.
So save the Crew fans. Not big. They want Alexi Lalas to be moved to Austin, you know? They wish Precourt owned Fox Sports.
Yeah, it's almost like I wrote this review.
This is a nice one. So,
do I get a sticker? Give me a sticker.
You want a sticker, bro? All right, well, I think you have all of them anyway, so...
So, Keith, thank you so much for the review. We appreciate it. Make sure you leave a review on iTunes. It helps more people hear about the show. So feel free to do that right now while you're listening to the show. While you're listening to the Jermaine Jones. Actually, don't do it while you listen to the Jermaine Jones interview, because you got to focus on that thing.
Yeah, no, that
everywhere. You got to try to understand every German/English word he says.
Right. And he spoke real low, so the audio may not be perfect, but you're going to get everywhere.
You got to get it. So, okay. So a couple things going on in American soccer. Atlanta in the news again, because I think they might end up fielding 11 DPs this season. They're allowed to. It's the Arthur
they
Blank
voted.
Rules.
Yeah. Arthur Blank voted himself.
He's like, hey guys, you know what? We're going to change this up a little bit.
Right. Well, they have the owners meetings, right?
Okay.
but this was the ballinest owners' meetings. He was the only one allowed in.
Yeah, he did the little, like, the Captain Phillips, like, I am the captain now.
Yeah, he's like, y'all have your owners' meeting. We are in this other room. If you guys want to go to room 103, we're having a meeting for owners that spend a grip, which I think I'm the only one going to. So y'all can just hang out here. I'll be right back, and I'll tell you what we voted on.
Yeah, we were getting some stick from some fans, right? From Sporty Kansas City fan. I'm going to pull up her name. I think it was Leanne.
Yeah, but it ended with Leanne offering to take me for Burnett. So
so it all worked
continue
out.
To give us thick, but everybody.
On the episode, on our last episode with Alexi Lalas, we did mention how we were kind of frustrated or worried about NYCFC and what like they were going to be doing. Mm-hmm. And it is interesting because it's not a thing. The last 4 years of NYCFC have been fairly entertaining / successful,
right?
Especially with superstar players like David Villa. But then us sort of complaining about like, oh, we don't have a superstar World Cup winner.
Bring us another scoring leader of a country.
by us complaining about that, I didn't even realize like how spoiled we really sounded. And when you look at other MLS teams that don't spend a grip, right?
Yeah.
They're like,
Colorado Rockies fans are just throwing their iPhone against the wall.
The Rockies? Yeah.
Colorado Rapids every time. Why would you pick another team with the R?
I mean, look, the Colorado Rockies, I think, have been relegated, right? They've been relegated to the MLB. It's really quite a shame.
they're in AAA.
So, yes, but Atlanta United did have their next designated player. And now, arrive at the airport, which is, again, dope to see. It's definitely so fun to see, coming from American soccer fans, the waiting at the airport for this South American, you know, for an Argentinian guy who doesn't speak a lick of the language.
But he's so prepared for it. He just walked over, started signing autographs. I think it was Jay Riddle who put the scarf on him. He just, like, wait. He, like, knew it was coming. Like, if you did that to an American soccer player, you'd be like, what are you doing? Oh, okay, it's a scarf.
Yeah. But it's cool to see that from American soccer fans, and also American soccer fans that are not, you know, they're not Latino, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, it's just like they're into the sport. They don't care if the dude can't speak their language, but they know this is like customary, right? This is sort of what we do. I like the it was at 5:30 a.m. Everybody knew the flight. Everybody was like researching, yo, when's he arriving, asking different journalists in Argentina. So like, yo, this is dope.
It's a whole new world, and this is why I get annoyed. People give us
the Cooligans or us.
They
American
give Cooligans. No, they give Cooligans some problems because we were talking about Atlanta United a lot last year. Well, they played pretty well. Okay, yeah. They won MLS Cup. Okay, and then they give Atlanta United fans a lot of issues because they're like, oh, you're new and you're this and you're too loud and you're annoying on Twitter. It's like, yo, how many of y'all waiting for your DPs at the airport?
Sure.
Huh?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they
like at some point it's like, yo, we all have to look. I'm even as NYCFC fans, we're like, yo, no one's waiting. I mean, there's no DP coming, you know. There might be, right? We ain't even got TSA at our airport, but there's nobody coming for us. But like, how many people are waiting? How many supporters groups or supporters of other MLS teams are going to the airport and doing that for their DPs? I'm not saying that Atlanta deserves all the credit in the world or the fans deserve all the respect in the world. If you think they're new or they're doing something that's corny, you go ahead and tell them that's what the whole thing is about. But it's like, dog, at some point we got to be like, all right, well, they're doing some stuff we're not doing.
Yeah. And so Atlanta did it. FC Dallas did it. They had their I don't know if he's a designated player, but his nickname is the Cobra. I'm like afraid to even try to pronounce his name. It has too many like
Zdenek
Ondrasik, I think that's.
I mean, whatever, Cobra.
But it has all these like like Croatian kind of.
No, every letter
has a slash
going through it. Is this a dollar symbol? What is this?
All right, Kesha.
Yeah, it's all confusing.
But FC Dallas fans did it as well. It's again cool to see, especially when it's not. We understand the Zlatans, right? Of course, you go to the airport. You want to see that giant man bun.
Yeah. I mean, but that's also, there were people there that were in LA Galaxy fans.
Yeah.
They were just Zlatan fans.
Yeah, yeah. So that's like cool to see. But this nuance, this specific thing of like South American players no one really knows in the U.S., but like the American soccer fan is getting much more informed.
Yeah.
They were watching Libertadores. They were like, yo, we know. All right.
Yeah, watching
PT and everything like that. So the interesting things when he arrived at 5:30 a.m., very early.
That's wild early.
All right, so crazy.
And by the way, I want everyone to know, I would not do that. As much as I'm telling you to go do it, I would never
do
it.
Ton of respect for being there. I'm like, no way I'm getting at 5:30 a.m.
I mean, if he got there like 2 in the afternoon, I'd be cool. Yeah, all right.
Simple.
I'll be there.
Okay, let's see what the trains is looking like. I'll head over there.
I mean, tell him to come tomorrow because the subway, the subway's acting up a little bit.
But one thing that I was kind of surprised by or taken aback by is that Peter Martinez is not very animated. I don't know if it was a 5:30 a.m. thing or... And based on some responses from South American journalists, they were saying that Peter Martinez, he's not very expressive. And he was, every photo, every selfie is just like, it might as well be a mugshot. He was just, no smiles, looked like he had a miserable time.
Yeah, he's no Al Marone, you know?
No.
Al Marone smiles. I mean, Owen would smile in a mugshot. BD takes every picture like it is a mugshot.
He'd be in jail like, I'm just happy to be here.
I know. Honestly, just I'm waiting for Newcastle to pay the bail.
So that was the interesting thing because people took it as, oh, is he not happy that he's here or is something wrong? But no, it's just the dude is just a robot.
Yeah,
all he knows is soccer and he is not about feelings.
Yeah, dude, he's out here to dish dimes, bro. He ain't trying to smile in photos.
So the next issue that leads to is that, again, you mentioned Miguel Almirón. He is still here. He is still in Atlanta, training with Atlanta. There's a couple days left in the training, in the transfer window.
They're not going to get it.
So it looks like they have to figure, they have like 12 days, like 12 to 15 days to figure out how they are going to either sell Almirón or get rid of one of their DPs. So the suggestion
is that Barco's going to go on loan.
Yeah. So now this is brought up
to Atlanta United too. And then they're just going to bring him right up. Look at that.
Yeah. Pay his TAM down. Pay the $15 million to TAM down.
Yeah, we're going to have to trade a lot of players for TAM if we're going to pay down that 15.
So now people are saying that Paul Tenori was talking about this. I know Doug Robertson from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, right?
Yeah, AJC.
Right? Yeah. And they were saying that they might end up in these next 2 weeks, they might end up changing the rules around so that Atlanta United can keep their four designated players. And also, this would also help LA Galaxy because they're having the Gio Dos Santos.
So you know what they're going to do? They're going to make it where like you have to, you know, you have to buy it from a team that's not using it.
Okay, like you can sell your designated player slot.
Yeah, and since there's no one keeps track of how much TAM you do or don't have, there's no like website that lists it. MLS Soccer doesn't tell you. They could just be like, both teams paid $500,000 in TAM to this other team. Atlanta United and LA Galaxy both paid $500,000 to whatever, Minnesota United and NYCFC for their DP player slot for a one-time reprieve or something like that. And then they're guaranteed to win.
Yeah. I mean,
like if you're one of these other teams that's got, that wait around for whatever this rule is, and then you do it too.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this stuff now starts to become very,
it's like playing Sims.
Yeah, it's just like finances and weird. Like this is not the fun part about soccer, and especially not about Major League Soccer.
No, there's some people who think this is fun.
But this is worth kind of looking into. And not look, we don't even claim to necessarily understand it. But in the next 2 weeks, something is going to happen that is going to affect specifically both of these teams, but also the league in a big way. So this might be like a little bit of a turning point for American soccer where MLS might be like, we're adding a fourth DP. You know, like in the next two, something crazy might happen or the teams will be forced to make huge financial decisions where they have to like buy out Gio Dos Santos or buy out Barco or something crazy like that. I don't think
they're not going to buy out Barco.
But something interesting is really going to happen that's really going to affect the state of like American soccer, at that first division. So this is worth paying attention to. So
I kind of like the idea that it's almost like playing chicken with Don Garber. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's like, all right, they don't want Miguel.
What are you going to do, Donnie?
Donnie, what are you going to do? You're gonna really make Barco walk? Is that what you're going
to
do?
He's a kid. You're going to do that to a teenager?
You're going to let him go outside like that? First of all, you know what happens when we're not watching him? He goes on Instagram, okay? He starts DMing other people's girls.
Okay, we need to keep a very close eye on the little baby boat,
we gotta
okay?
We got to put a little leash on our little baby boat, you know? What are you going to do? You really want Gio DeSantos to just go nowhere? Is that what you want? You want him to walk onto a Mexican team for free?
So something interesting is going to happen. So it's worth paying attention to. So that is like the drama of that is what is kind of exciting to me.
I would love it if Don's like, you know what? I'm tired of this. There's no cap. Promotion and relegation.
I quit, baby.
Go ahead. Do what you want. You get one of these and you get one of those. I'm done.
Oh, man. F you. You're cool.
Yeah, yeah. Take the tam. Shove it up here. And they're like, Don, you got to relax.
So we'll see what happens. We'll keep you abreast. So the next thing we want to talk about real quick was Matt Miazga. So if you remember Matt Miazga.
Americans abroad.
Americans abroad, right? I like that broad. Matt Miazga, right? So Matt Miazga, center back, came through the Red Bull Academy, played for Red Bulls for a couple of years, ended up being sold to Chelsea, then ended up being loaned to a couple different teams. His current team is Nantes in Ligue 1, not having a great time there, not really doing much, not getting many minutes, and when he does, people not very happy with his play. Also, it's just Ligue 1 is. Yeah, we saw a result from PSG against I don't even know how to pronounce the. It was Guingamp. I don't even know how to pronounce Guingamp or Guingamp. I don't know how to say it.
Why are we even trying? First of all, you're looking at me.
But they beat them 9-0 last weekend. So, and the jokes, every time PSG crushes a team, it's like you just got to look at the timeline, the Twitter timeline, because it's just a bunch of farmers. It's just farmer jokes. Like,
yeah, of course.
They're just playing against farmers. And that's the problem with Ligue 1, where it's just so top heavy, right? It's just like the top three, I mean, it's PSG and the rest.
It's like, three MLS teams playing against, like semi-pro teams, or like it's.
Yeah.
And I get that there's really good players on each of those teams, but it's kind of rough.
Yeah. So they have a bad time.
You got Nice, Olympique Marseille, Monaco, PSG.
So, yeah, it's.
And then a bunch of guys who walked on.
Yeah, there's not too much of an expectation. For if you play in Ligue 1, nobody's like, even if you're, outside of like Monaco, like any other team, nobody's really expecting you to win or
shit. Well, Marseille has a good team and Nice has a good team.
Nice is not in Champions League.
No, but that's,
yeah,
I mean.
They're all right. I mean, yeah. So all I'm saying is just the expectation is not super high. But when an American goes there, you would think they would kind of like be able to like keep up. And I think he's having problems that are just off the field issues and like maybe coach issues. Like the reason we bring this up is because he was in the news again for a much more off the field issue. And,
right.
And Nantes has just aired out all the business.
Nantes, Jermaine Jones did.
they were like, yeah, I think Jermaine Jones called Nats like, yo, you guys want to tone it down a little bit?
Yeah,
like,
wow, you get messy on the gram.
But Nats, they tweeted out that...
The translation is...
Yes.
They were talking about one of the players is blackmailing the team.
Yeah, I don't think that's the...
And Benzema was like, say what now?
I don't think that was the initial... the Twitter translation.
Yeah, the direct translation.
I don't
is
know
blackmail.
Blackmail is the right word to use.
But it's
in
almost,
this
almost
sentence.
Like is trying to finagle. So in other words, supposedly,
mm-hmm.
And I want to say I believe Miazga above all else. Miazga's claiming
Americans would never lie.
No, never. Not in France. what are you going to trust the French? So what happened last time that I don't know, but all of you just thought of something in your brain. And please tweet at us and tell us what it is you thought about when I said that. Apparently, he's been claiming to have a sore back. And maybe he's like, maybe I should leave the team. And then they went and checked him, supposedly. And it turns out, a couple exams, he doesn't have a sore back.
And just to clarify, this was posted by the official FC Nantes Twitter account.
They put that right on their Twitter account.
They even tagged the homie in it.
The admin was like, I got you.
I'll let you know what he did.
Yeah.
And I'll make sure he knows that I'll let you know what he did.
This is the internet version of saying it to his face. He tagged him in it.
Tagged him right in it. And it says,
hit him with the at.
Yo, at me next time. Yeah. They're like, no. How about we just at you right now?
No, we did. Go in your notifications, bro. You're going to see it. You'll see it in the mentions and you'll see it in the all.
So this is the translation quote. It says, the Twitter translation says, the blackmail I was talking about yesterday. So this is Vahid. I don't know who this is. Vahid Halizogic. I don't know who
Google that real quick. We'll see who that is.
I'm sure somebody,
he's a reporter.
Somebody represents the club, either a reporter or maybe like a team doctor or something like that. So he goes,
where's Tim to help us out?
So he says, the blackmail I was talking about yesterday was about Matt Miazga. He assured me that he had a sore.
Oh, he's the manager.
Oh, right. Even better.
Yo, the manager. The team quoted the manager. Yo, he added him in the thing, and then they added him in the tweet.
So he says he assured me that he had a sore back, and after exams, however, there was no problem. He just wanted to leave the club. So maybe he used a little fib.
No, there's no way to prove back injuries via medical tests.
So this is the interesting thing. Alexis, I've heard you
this
say this
before. This is not a theory. This is a real thing.
You've said this before, which leads me to believe you have been a part of several insurance scams, right?
First of all, hit him with the allegedly. Don't you dare at me on this damn podcast.
So apparently,
all I'm saying is, for those of you who may in the future be in a fender bender, just know that there's no way they can prove back and or head injuries via MRI. So hold your head and hold your back, bro. Because it's going to hurt. I'm not telling you to lie. I'm just saying it's going to hurt.
It's going to hurt so much more. And if you have any acting ability, it should really, really hurt.
I think it helps. I think it helps just a little bit. But there's no way to prove that he doesn't, unless he claimed he specifically had like a herniated disc or something.
I don't know. I mean, but it's just the fact that
the thing is sore back. And also, read that the manager is Bosnian. So of course he's talking messy like this.
So,
and Bosnians don't care. They're like, I'm gonna say your name.
But
my guy.
This is the thing. If there was a hernia or something serious, you know, there's HIPAA compliance would not allow him to talk about this publicly. So this would be a real issue.
I think HIPAA is only the U.S.
They don't have this in Europe?
Probably not.
What, doctors would just be like, yo, he got AIDS. In France. He got herpes.
Yo, be careful changing his water. I do got all types of herpes.
I would imagine.
I haven't told him yet, but at least 3 or 4 different types of herpes.
I would hope that these rules exist in other countries. I could be wrong, but I would hope that that's the case. So
we only got them now.
What, HIPAA compliance? Well,
yeah, HIPAA laws are only...
What, like 2005?
Yeah. By the way, Tim, come to the rescue. MRI and X-ray, almost useless for back pain. I'm telling you, they can't prove it.
Okay, all right, we're learning.
The doctor's like, yo, we don't see nothing. I don't care what you see. I'm in a lot of pain, and the only thing that's going to help is a check.
The only thing that's going to help is me going back to my parent team.
Oh, how am I going to carry that bag of money out of here, out of this hospital, on the way back to my former team?
I don't tell you, my doctor's in Chelsea. we just love this kind of drama, especially with the American soccer player, but he's not having a great time in Nantes. He's trying to get out of there. I don't know, you know, like, you got to do what you got to do. There's, you know, you got to do what's sort of best for your career, and you can't sort of blame him for that this is the strategy that he wants to use.
I mean, this didn't come from him. This came from his agent.
Okay. Blame his agent?
Unless this is the stuff they go over at Red Bull Academy. All right.
Is this the first class out there, huh? Mm-hmm.
is this how Josie moved away out of Sunderland, you know?
Hey, might be useful. So fascinating for me. And last thing we want to talk about before we get to the interview of all interviews with Jermaine Jones is let's talk about the Chicago Fire a little bit, right? First of all, let's give a shout out to our dear friend, Nicole Hack, who was just elected chair of Section 8, which is the supporters group.
Congrats. Round of applause for her.
Round of applause. She's a dear friend. Every time she was a vice chair. And, you know, when we met her and every time we've been to Chicago, she's been incredibly supportive and helpful and just helping us navigate and understand kind of like the soccer landscape of Chicago. So she's always been just absolutely awesome to us. And and congratulations to her. Like, this is a big move and big news. Mainly the added bonus, she's the first female chairwoman for Section 8 Chicago. So
that's
like,
huge.
A really cool thing.
And we can't stress enough just how involved she is in the soccer community in Chicago and how she's there pushing people into, you know, doing more and she's corralling people around and she wants to honor some of the fans like, you know, Matt Javier. She was one of the first ones to tell us about Matt Javier.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, that interview was because of her and
really cares about the Chicago Fire and
the soccer community in Chicago as well. Like,
yeah,
even.
But I'd add this, like, as we've been doing this show, we've gotten to meet kind of like those people that are like kind of these like pillars of their community, their soccer community. And it's definitely
the Cooligans of their community, if you will.
Okay, sure. Exactly.
If you will. And I will.
But it's made me more connected to soccer, to American soccer to begin with, meeting people like this that are so passionate about their clubs and passionate about the just the soccer community.
Yeah, and they've gone from, you know, listener to friend, you know.
Exactly.
There's been so much that we've reached out to Nicole for help with when it comes to planning events in Chicago or getting around Chicago, or, you know, whether it's, you know, the meetup that Total Soccer Show and us did. The show that we did for World Cup Comedy Tour and making sure that there were representatives of the supporters and some of the Red Star supporters there. You know, Nicole Hack is almost our fixer in Chicago.
Sure.
You know, our Jay Riddle in Chicago. You know what I mean? And so, there's people like that that are becoming more and more apparent for us in each of those markets. And for her to reach to this level and to do something that no one before her has done is absolutely awesome.
Yeah, so we're very proud of you, Nicole. So let's
honored to have you as a friend and a fan.
Exactly. So the what I want to talk about with Chicago, just basically, because while we were in Chicago, we got to talk to a lot of Fire fans about what's going on in Section 8 in particular, dealing with, you know, Section 101 and the drama with Sector Latino. And like, if you don't know, basically the Chicago Fire chose to they were issues and whether there are. You know, we're not certain exactly what happened. There's currently a legal issue that's kind of
There's a lot. There's so many layers to what's going on.
There's a lot, but so we'll try to talk about and make some sense of what we know based on what we were told and conversations that we've had.
And again, this is only stuff we've been told, and none of this is 100% factual that we know for sure.
But
so if this upsets anyone or if someone's like, no, you're wrong, we're just trying to let you know to the best of our knowledge what's happened.
Yeah, and really just to shine a light and just kind of so more people from other, you know, other fan bases kind of understand what's going on and a little bit for, you know, again, it's like what was going on with Columbus, right? Where when the team was being threatened to move, everybody was like, hey, everybody should care about this because this could happen to your club. And what happened to Chicago Fire, their supporters, that is a whole section. They got banned, like just a whole complete section.
What if your team didn't move? They just didn't allow anyone to go.
Yeah. So basically from what I've read in The Athletic, there was an article kind of shining light about the a Chicago Fire fan is suing the Chicago Fire because of basically a misrepresentation of what, like, it was like a basically like a scuffle or a fight with someone in security, and that person was banned for that reason. And then when there was no footage to corroborate the Chicago Fire like side that like, right. there's no real reason to ban this person. And even though there wasn't that evidence, they still didn't rescind the ban for that person. So
right, and this has happened in other countries. You know, there's a famous COPPA 90 a doc that Ellie Menjem did on the Western Sydney Wanderers, who did the same thing. They banned them for like gang-like activities, and the rest of the fans were like, whoa, what are you talking about? We didn't do any of that.
Yeah.
Those are three people. You ban them. That's cool. The rest of us should have our day and like are able to say something. And the thing is that, yeah, it may seem as simple as, well, if, you know, they should have stopped. These are still people who've put their blood, sweat, and tears and money into being Chicago Fire fans. And if we're being honest, at a time when they could use the fans.
Yeah.
And I get the weight of having the pressure of or being the responsible, you know, having the responsibility of making sure that everyone is okay at the stadium. And we take that very serious. And yeah, there shouldn't be any violence. And you know, we heard some fans were running around trying to fight. That's stupid. Those are the fans that should be banned. But everyone else who sits in that section, who it's not upon them to police their own section, right? And to some degree, they do that. But they're not security. That's not their job, is to put their life on the line to try to stop someone else from fighting. And if this gentleman is claiming, look, he's suing just to be able to say his piece.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, his piece should be, he should be able to say his piece without having to get a lawyer.
Yeah. So it's based on the conversation we've had with a lot of people, the Chicago Fire supporters, it's kind of like crazy that it's gotten this far where there's like this standoff between the Chicago Fire front office and the Section 8 supporters. And look, I don't want to get into like the gossip per se. I mean, we've been told things. I had a long conversation with someone and I was told things, and we both have.
Yeah, you know, we were in the many times we've been in Chicago, people will tell us.
So I don't want to speculate about taking side. It's not even about taking side. Just as a fan of the sport, it's just like ridiculous. How long are you going to ban an entire section? Like,
yeah.
What could they have done that collectively everyone must be banned? Right. And this happens in Europe, right? I mean, in Italy, how many times there's racism and then they do closed door games, right? So you understand that it can happen.
At least racism, you can understand. Like, it's obvious. Everyone knows what happened. This is still, there's so much mystery still to all of this.
And there's a different, like, that when things like that happen, it's usually like the federation that's like, hey, you guys didn't control this. So to teach a lesson to everybody, to help improve just that game day experience, everyone will be punished. Now,
but that's not banned for life. That's for the next game. No one's allowed to go.
Exactly. So this is becoming, it almost seems like it's contentious, but it's bordering on getting personal. Do you know what I mean? Like it's like, how much are you going to punish this section or these supporters specifically? Like, what, based on the things that I've heard, I'm like, what could they didn't really do anything that warrants a, like, it ended up being like a 10-15 game like ban or something like that, where like the Nelson Rodriguez, right, from the president and of Chicago Fire, kind of doesn't really want to budge on things that he believes in, and Section 8 doesn't want to do that as well, which you kind of understand. But based on the conflict that I'm seeing, I'm like, from Chicago Fire side, I'm like, there's how, like, what is the benefit of banning these fans? It's less money. There's less fans there, right? Especially the fans that are like providing that game, the experience, the chant, the drums, like all that stuff. Like, I frankly don't understand the benefit of this.
Look, I get the initial reaction, the gut reaction of being like, you know what? That's fine. If we've had problems with them, the whole section's banned. I get that as a way to make a statement. But I would say then follow that up with, yo, let's meet with the heads of that section and say, all right, we want to bring most of you guys back, but here's what we need. I get that as a show you, remind you, we have all the power. We're going to ban you. But to not even listen to the fans that didn't do anything wrong, to not now start some type of conversation for the next season. You know what I mean? I understand how some teams will be like, you know what, then fine, the whole section's banned. Not how I would handle it, but I get it. You have the power. That's within your right.
Yeah.
But now you have all these groups of people who are like, wait a minute, we didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And we simply want to tell you that.
Yeah. And now what I sensed is that the problem is becoming more. You know how when you have an argument, you say argue with your wife or something, mm-hmm. and you arguing about something, but then you say something a certain way in the argument, and then the argument becomes about, well, why are you talking to me like that?
Well, let's talk about this out, because you know this happens to me all the time. So I get told I come across too aggressive or too abrasive sometimes. Whatever. You ask me my opinion, I'm telling you. No, I mean, it's true. It's like now there's other stuff that keeps adding to it.
Yes.
And you know, but this is all because no one's willing to listen to the fans.
Yeah.
So the fans are now trying to get attention somehow.
Yeah.
Some are acting immature. One dude went out and put a lawyer on retainer.
The fact that it's gotten this far, it's just like, yo, this is what's crazy is that
you should be even trying to get the lawyer to come to the games. No one's going to the games.
What's crazy is that this lawsuit doesn't happen if the Chicago Fire probably just apologize, you know, and just be like, all right, look, we got,
or have some type of protocol. Yo, even the Rebels did that town hall. Remember that town hall thing they did a couple years ago when the fans were furious,
okay.
And it was like fine, and it was like they brought, I think it was Ali Curtis, Louis Robles, and like I forget who. I think it was maybe the new coach Jesse Marsh back then.
Okay,
and the three of them sat there as like the fans were just like booing and shouting at them, and Robles was like, "Why'd y'all invite me to this?" Like, like that was a moment that everyone made fun of them for, and look at how sort of look at the change that's happened since then.
Yeah,
you know, look at how much more unified that fan base is now. Why wouldn't they? There should be a follow-up to banning the section.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
There should be like, all right, you see what we can do if you guys act up? Now let's sit down and talk about what's going to happen next. No one's doing that.
Yeah. Look, I don't want to say no one. There's conversations. They're just not moving forward very well because both sides are not like anywhere close to any like middle ground.
Well, somebody's got to shit or get off the pot at this point. You know what I mean?
Sure. Look, but hopefully the new, you know, order of Section 8.
Yeah.
Maybe they can add a different like just a different light to it. Maybe get through to Chicago Fire front office in a better way. So, but you know, best of luck to them. So,
and like Tim just sent us, the Chicago Fire attendance has been going down steadily.
Yeah,
went from 16,000 to 14,000. I mean, you know,
so,
it went up in 2017 when they got Bastion.
Okay. So best of luck.
More like band Shtin. Am I right, everybody? All right.
Oh boy.
There it is.
Man. Just we were doing
Tim's laughing.
We were doing,
so I don't want to hear anything.
We were doing pretty well for a while. And then all right. So let's right this ship and get to our second segment. We will be talking to Jermaine Jones. This happened at the United Soccer Coaches Convention in Chicago, at McCormick Place. It's just insane. Just thank you. Before we even play, thank you so much for being a fan of the Cooligans. This is like a dream come true.
Not
only do we get to joke around and be just dummies and whatever, but we
and
get
you're
to,
here for it, which is insane. We would do this whether you were here or not, but the fact that you're here for it means the world to us.
On top of the fact that we get to speak to soccer, I mean, he's a U.S. men's national team legend, man, MLS legend. Just like the fact that that got to happen is like just a dream come true for us. So you'll hear it in our voices talking to him, how excited we are.
It was an honor. And here's the thing. I want to caution the fans. This is not an opportunity to troll him online. It was a big deal that he was able to talk to us and that he was willing to talk to us in the way he did and open up. And, you know, look, if this is Jermaine Jones Day, I would love for him to do an interview with us every year.
We got to celebrate. Yeah.
We need more people like him in American soccer. We need more people like him, you know, just in the sport of soccer in general. And we want to interview them. So if someone else is going to start talking some wild talk, please remember the Cooligans are want to put microphones in your face while you do it.
All right. So we'll be right back with our interview with Jermaine Jones.
It's finally here.
Right after this.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to Cooligans. We just want to give a word from one of our sponsors, us, and our YouTube channel.
That's right. We have a lot of footage that we're editing through now. We have so much amazing, amazing content for you, and it's going to all be on our YouTube channel. So make sure you subscribe to that, youtube.com/soccercooligans. Just coming up this Friday, it'll be up, the video with Maxi Urruti where
he shows us how to make mate.
Shows us how to make mate.
So. And we show him how to drink mate the right way. You know what I mean? Because we wild gully. So, but also, if you want to see the video of the interview you're about to hear.
Exactly.
That's going to be on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, and that'll be up right now. So you're listening. If you want to listen to it, you can watch it on YouTube as well. So that'll be an option just so you can see the fear in our eyes. So feel free to do that. So youtube.com/soccercooligans.
Yeah, baby, we're back.
Yes, yes.
Oh, my God, we did it.
I'm not only excited, I'm insanely nervous.
If we fuck up, he's going to two-foot us. We've seen it. You clicked on it, so you know exactly what's about to happen. This is the interview we've begged for. We had no way of getting in contact with this person. I was in the middle of a serious conversation, and I saw dreads in my peripheral, and I turned, and I saw this man, and I ran right up to him.
Neymar?
And said, please.
Are you talking about Neymar?
Yes. No, these are real dreads.
Real dreads.
This man earned them. He didn't just go to a hair shop in Atlanta. This is the greatest day in Cooligan's history, unless you're driving. And you know what? If you are, seriously, sell your car right now and put your hands together for the one, the only, Jermaine Jones, everybody.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. That was a good one.
Enough of an intro there for you?
Jermaine Jones.
There's so much. We don't even know where to start.
We don't even know where to begin. It's not like this wasn't like one of those things where we could prepare for this.
No.
Yeah. But we're happy it's happening. So first
much
of all,
like when you go on Instagram Live.
Yeah. Exactly. Sometimes, right?
You don't need to prepare.
Don't prepare. Just hit it out and see what comes
just
up.
Just turn it on. By the way, we have to confess. So you once went on Instagram Live and you made some comments about the differences between some of the players you grew up around and some American players,
yeah.
Right? And you put that on Instagram Live because you're like, that's cool. It'll live there.
Yeah.
And then only the people that follow me see it. And then what Christian and I did was we started Googling and found a way to rip that off the internet and put it on YouTube because we wanted the world to hear what you had to say. We don't necessarily agree 100% with what you said, but just the fact that you had, and this is a term from where we're from, the balls to say exactly how you feel. Did you, in the background, if you could talk about it, did you get any backlash from that?
Of course there's backlash, but you know what? I don't care about it, you know? I'm straight up. When I have something to say, I say it, you know? And that's I have the rights to say what I want. And at the end, it's always good and a bad, right? But still, people will talk about it.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to do. You know, it's everybody has a different outcome, how you want to see it. But I put something out and you will look at it and you start talking about it. And
yes.
That's what I want. I want to create something that people start thinking about this sport more. And this man is just only good or bad, you know, but we have to start more focusing on maybe criticizing sometimes saying like he's an amazing player. But it's not always like nice, 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 nice. That's not how it is, you know. And I know what I'm talking while I've been there. And people, some been never on the other side, you know, to Europe. They don't know how it is. Like if you play a bad game, then you get criticized the whole week till you have the chance to change that game, you know. And that's, to be honest, I don't care. I go out there and I say it. And if you do it on video on YouTube, I love it.
Yeah, sorry, good. You're not having this.
So comparing that kind of just the mentality and just the way that the media treats American soccer players. You played in Europe. You played in Germany, in England, in the U.S. What is the thing that you wish that you could bring from the culture of European soccer, European football, to the U.S.?
I would definitely bring back that, you know what I have, my problem in America is that we have an issue with criticizing, you know, if somebody criticizes you, we taking it personal.
Yeah.
But it's not personal. It's like the coach, maybe he's like angry why you're not playing good. The fan is angry why you're not playing good. You know, it's like, take it in. Okay. That's his mind. That's just what he's thinking about it. He's a fan. He comes to the game. He pays for it. He wants to see you prefer. You
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, if he criticizes it, you take it. Don't take it personal, you know? Just change the game, try to play better and do it. And in Germany, it's completely opposite what I said before. If you play bad, you get smashed.
Yeah, sure.
Yes, smash you.
And in German, it sounds even worse.
Yeah, exactly.
Very angry.
Exactly.
Yeah, German yelling is rough.
Exactly.
It's hard on the ears.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. You have three children?
Five children.
Dude, I've been married 12 years, and I have no kids. Every time my wife says baby, I leave the room. If I'm not there, you can't have one. But
But you know what? That means like I have 5 and I'm divorced.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, but you got 5. You know? But I'm just afraid of the children. I don't care about the divorce. I love you, baby girl. But let me ask you a question. You, how many sons?
3.
3. Your oldest, his name?
Keanu.
Keanu. Let's say Keanu is about to get bought by Real Madrid. Let's not even go Real Madrid. Let's say Real Betis.
Yeah.
It's a big moment, yeah, right? And let's say he comes to you and he says, you know what, Dad? I don't think I want to go because I just got this dog. As a parent.
I know.
As a parent.
I know where he's going.
What would you say to this child? What would you say? I mean, you know, would you get this fucking dog out of here? What would you say? Honestly, what would you say to your son in that moment?
I would definitely have like a 1-1 talk with him.
Yeah. Close the door.
Yeah.
Me and Keanu.
Exactly.
Why don't y'all go watch TV?
And then it's like, there's 2 chances. Like, he gets tackled or he goes on himself, you know? That's how it is. You
that's
know?
How we discipline yeah. in the Jones household.
Yeah. That's how we do it up in the Jones house.
Yeah, exactly. They know how it goes. And no, it's like, when you have that opportunity, come on, be honest. Like, you have to go. And I know where you're going to. It's like Jordan Morris. And
yeah.
Sorry, you can buy a dog and you can have the dog wherever you go, you know?
So, bro, there's dogs everywhere.
Yeah. So why you have to have the dog in Seattle, you know? So.
I think the reason why we were so attracted to it. So if you don't listen, he's Dominican by culture. I'm Cuban by culture. Those are 2 countries that don't play soccer. We didn't get a chance to play soccer growing up because there's a lot of, you have to pay for a lot of it and stuff. Yeah. I couldn't afford it. I grew up in the hood. He grew up in the hood. I grew up in Newark, New Jersey. He grew up in Brooklyn. Like, we just didn't have access to that. My mom worked 5 jobs. I didn't have access to be a good soccer player. And you could look at me and know I wasn't going to be anyway. But when you look at some of these players that are now having chances, imagine Christian Pulisic didn't want to leave Pennsylvania. We look at that and we're like, why isn't anyone saying anything? And then you come along and say it. And, you know, you mentioned divorce before. You're very honest across the board on social media and just anytime anyone asks you a question, which is why we love having you on here. What makes you want to be the guy that says it?
It's not, I don't think that's something that I want to be, you know. I think it's like, that's my personality, you know. Like, you guys had Alexi Lalas before. Like, he's the same kind. Like, he says that what he's thinking, you know. And it's the same like me. Like, I don't shy away from saying stuff if I know that's the truth for me, right? And most of the time when I say it, in the first point, people be like, oh, damn, shit, what is he talking? Shut off your Instagram, you know.
Yeah.
But then if you keep going and wait like a month or 2 months, people come back and they say, man, you were right. You are right, you know, and
because you're just being honest.
Yeah, I'm being honest. Like, and this is like most of the time, like where we live, especially in America, is like, honestly, like everyone want to be nice, you know. Everyone have the easy way. Like, this is why we have the problem sending kids in a young age go overseas, but they have it easy here. Yeah. They're already like, oh, I'm professional already. I'm playing MLS now. I'm home. I'm there.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, over there, if you have the chance to go, of course you have to battle. Like. Yes, people from over the world. It's not only American kids, like, from everywhere.
Yeah.
And they want to have your spot. So have to battle, and you have to be man enough. If you don't man enough, you go home while you feel, like, homesick and everything. And then, but it's like, for me, it's like, it's just like an experience just for your own growth to go there and do it, you know? Like, that's, I don't get it. Like, if I hear somebody's like, you have the chance to play the highest leagues, and you say no, then I don't think you have the fire, really.
Even just for the money.
Yeah.
But take the money away. Like, the money, of course, is way 100% more than you had here. But take the money away and say, like, if you have the chance, you started playing soccer, but you said, I want to be professional one day. I want to play highest level. I want to play Champions League. I want to play it against the best, right? And then you say, now I'm here, but now I want to go back. Where I get a dog and I can be with my girlfriend. And I'm like, man, the best part is like 3 months later, he broke up with his girlfriend.
I didn't know that. You know? Oh, man.
Like a sight note.
What a crazy.
Yeah. He could have got that bag in Germany, man.
So the one thing that's the reason this is even more fascinating is it's not just because you're saying it, but it's because it's you in particular. You are, a decorated player, amazing moments for the U.S. men's national team.
Oh, yo. That goal against Portugal. My
one of the best days of my life.
I just dabbed Jermaine Jones, everybody.
That was one of the best days ever. But the one thing that's like noticeable is that we don't really have Like, current players, I feel like, don't talk about U.S. soccer that way. They don't talk about the landscape of American soccer. Like, the players that get through and get to the point when they're on the men's national team, there's never that point where, like, hey, look, this is what they could have done differently to kind of maybe welcome more people.
That's because nobody wants to rock the boat. Do you think that's it?
This is what I'm saying. Like, a lot of people are really scared, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, like, if you talk out, it is not always everybody accepted, you know? There's the opposite side, too, that say, okay, maybe be careful. We don't want to have him on board. Why, he can go crazy, you know? But it's like, for myself, I just can say, like, I've always been like that, and I will never change. But I think it's so good, and it helps us as a country to grow, you know? So when we get the chance to make it, like, bring kids in, like, with what I do, like, saying honestly and seeing what I see, and then
yeah,
been to different situations and know what's this, I can help kids coming up right now. Right? I talk right now with Christian Pulisic, I talk with McKinney, with all the kids who are overseas, and I tell them, if you guys need something, call me. If you're homesick, call me. You need...
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to go out there, let me know. I've been there. I know where it is, you know? And that helps, you know? But, of course, there's... Now it's like the new generation of soccer is different than back in the days. I'll give you an example. When I came up, the guys were drinking beer, smoking cigarettes. Like, you went to the jacuzzis, like, they were sitting there, like,
yeah,
now,
yeah.
People, you tell, like, you want a beer, they're like, no, man.
I have a kale smoothie.
Yeah.
You're like,
like,
what?
Everybody's going, like, complete opposite. Like, in the personality change. Like, you don't see, like, real men anymore. It's, like, more like young kids, you know?
Okay, okay. Sure. Well, that's interesting, because some people might be offended that you're even saying that. That it's, like, that it to some degree, from a health perspective, right, it would be better for them not to smoke cigarettes and drink beer.
But I'm a beer.
Yeah, but I'm
beer
saying,
is good,
like,
for you,
but
you
I'm
know?
Saying in
there's
I'm
food
saying,
in beer.
What I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, there is.
But the point is, like, why I'm saying it is, like, you had back in the days, you had maybe one or two, like, real young guys in the team, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Most right. of the guys were, like, men already.
More,
like,
seasoned,
yeah,
more veteran. Yeah,
they saw already the life and everything. Now you're going into a team, most of the teams, like, the oldest guy is maybe 30, and then you're talking already, like, you're too old, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Back in the days, were, like, 29 to 31 was, like, they say, like, your best soccer age.
Okay,
you
yeah.
Know?
That's,
and,
that's interesting.
And that's, like, this is what that's the stuff what changed right now, but, yeah.
Things change. Things move.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's definitely improved.
How about you? This is something I think the American fan doesn't know. We know you, and we love you, but we don't know a little bit about you. Like, where are you from in Germany? Like, how did you come up?
Yeah, I grew up in Frankfurt. And I grew up kind of, you can say, the ghetto in Germany.
Yeah.
In a lot of immigrant-like people. And but...
Was it hard for you to be someone who's black in Germany?
No, to be honest, I had never that problem. The issue where we lived when was just you had guys who were criminal, you know, that did stuff. And, like,
yeah,
of course, you hang out with them and you get, like, a name, you know, like, the whole city, the area was, like, named for, like a problem area and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But for myself, I loved it. And in all my friends, we always played soccer there. We enjoyed the game in there, you know, so... And that's my background. Then I came back to the States, stayed here for 7 years in Mississippi.
Okay.
And then after that...
That is a complete culture shock, Mississippi from Germany, no? You can't hear the eye rolling on this podcast.
Kind of. Yeah, but then my mom and dad got split, right? And then I went back with my mom. My dad stayed here, and I go back. And from there, it's like, yeah, move on and did my stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
What if do you think... Because one of the things that we're both from... quote-unquote the hood, you know, Newark, New Jersey, rough city, Brooklyn, rough city. And one of the things we noticed growing up is that none of the players really looked or sounded like us. You know, a lot of them came from much more privileged backgrounds. Do you think you played differently because it was harder for you?
I would say this. I appreciate it a lot more. I knew from where I came, I don't want to go back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I knew I had the chance, the possibility with that, what I did, to take my whole family away from there, you
right.
know? So, and then, of course, I crossed paths with guys who had more talent than me, but I always had a mindset like...
Break their leg during
a
game.
I don't let you. Yeah.
I'm Jermaine Jones, I'm going to break your leg during a
no,
game.
It's like, to be honest, like, I just wanted to not go back where I come from. And
yeah.
I knew if he's coming now from my spot, he's maybe talent more.
Yeah.
But if I give everything and don't let it happen, I can move on. And then it started like that in the youths, and then from there I went... with the same mentality till I made it professional over all my career, you know?
That's so dope.
And that's how I see it. Like, the issue what you have, especially in America, is that you pay for soccer, right?
Yeah.
So then you're losing all the kids from the ghettos and like the harder
areas,
right?
That's why we didn't play.
Exactly. And in Germany, it's a different. In Germany, you don't have to pay. Everybody can play.
Right.
You know, so you get, like the same in Brazil, you find so many people from the favelas, from the ghettos, but they don't have to pay. And you find there, most of the time, the real quality, right? Like
right.
you find
yeah, yeah.
guys where you're like, row diamonds, like in their shine, you know? But it's like tough, but I think that's the next step what we need in America, that you stop paying for like playing soccer, you know?
Yeah, I can imagine for people that are not from here and then they see the system that we have in place and they're like, how in the world, why would you, like the idea of even paying to
we
play.
We pay so much money in soccer in the youth. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's
like, how do you get someone who's making money off of it to stop doing it? It's difficult. How do you convince them to give away that money? That's hard. I can't imagine how you're going to do it, but we would love for the pay-to-play system to stop.
Yeah.
If you ran an academy or a team, what are some of the things that you think you would do differently than what you see being done now, besides the pay structure, obviously?
I would definitely trying to see that I'm focusing on how they're running academies in overseas, right? And I had, like, with the club where I've been to, with Real Socar, I had conversations with them where I said, like, the youth systems have to be, like, stronger in, like, more players, right? So that more battle. And then what you have in Europe is, like, you have a B1 and a B2. So it means, like, in the B2, it's, like, the younger ones, but they're playing already in the kind of same level like the B1, the older ones who go out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So
like it's, when, like, a U12 plays against a U16?
Yeah, like, you can use the younger ones already. They're playing against older guys, you know? And it's just like stuff where you have to see how you can improve it, that you get like the younger guys. Wait, if you look, America for me is always, we have the best athletes.
Yeah.
Like, this is why you have football players, basketball.
Yeah.
You have so many, right? Now you have to find them in soccer too, and you have to build them in the young age, that they're in that, like, from, we say, like 6, 7 up to 14, 15, 16, that you can say, now he's ready. With 16 already, I can throw him into a MLS or somewhere, or Bundesliga, and let him play, and he'll be ready, you know?
Yeah.
That's something with that English. That comes from all academies, but then we have to be careful. We, America's this, when you can make money, now everybody creates an academy.
You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everybody
yeah.
has like his own thing. Oh, I was a dad, but now I'm a coach, you know?
Like, yeah, there's like a business model now.
Yeah, exactly. And then everybody's making money while you have to pay, so they make money with it. And this is the danger, what you said.
Yeah.
How are you taking this away?
Yeah. yeah. You know? That's fascinating.
Because if someone's giving me money, I'm not going to stop.
yeah.
Because there even seems to be now a couple more kids that have the opportunity to go to an MLS academy and sign with one, and they're just skipping it and they're just going right to Bundesliga, right?
Yeah.
We've seen that a couple times. And maybe it's just, if you have to pick between the two, it seems like the more cutthroat environment of taking the risk and going to Germany, even
then,
as a kid.
But then you go back to this, what we had before, right? With when we say like the kids you see most of the time, what country they come from? They come from like Hispanic background,
Latin American countries
yeah.
so, like us. Yeah.
So they're having this whole like soccer. That's my life. I can't come out of it. You know,
it's I'm a different
having
passion.
Yeah. I took care of my family, so I can stay in MLS or I go there. I'd go for the big shot.
Exactly.
You know?
Right. That makes sense.
That's like this inside of them. They have this desire to go. You know.
How come you don't become a scout?
Me?
Yeah, you should. No, you think I'm talking to him? He doesn't want it. I'm talking to you. Yeah, Jermaine Jones, the professional soccer player. Why don't you become a scout or something? I feel like there was talk of you having a radio show.
Yeah, I had, oh my God,
the world needs that.
I had it.
And why? Why'd that stop?
Hey, I had it with in LA with DJ Ski.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a lot of fun, but it was so much work to do, you know? And,
yeah.
And then I love it.
You
it's
ran
fun.
6 miles a game, and sitting and talking on the microphone is a lot of work for you.
Yeah.
Look
but
at
you, know,
you got abs, bro.
Yeah. But for me, the point is, like, what I like then, too, is, like, I can do this, you know, right? Have my own show. But then I love it to do my own show on my Instagram, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Very, you know? And that's the thing. So you are very, like, one of the few American soccer stars that is incredibly – you're as, like, open and honest about your entire life, the good and the bad, right?
Yeah, it's the best.
And how – so maybe this is a question might be too personal. You don't even have to answer it. But I am curious. Like,
go ahead.
How are you doing emotionally, and how do you feel about your life going forward and with family, marriage, divorce?
Are you good?
Are you
do
okay?
Do you need a hug from us?
We will be happy to
I'm very squeezably soft.
Squeezes.
All right. All right, Jermaine.
How are you doing?
No, I'll be honest. Like you know, everyone knows. Like you've been, you're in a married. Like you,
I'm not married, but okay. I've been long
term relationship.
Yeah. So you know, if like there's times like private stuff where you don't want to talk, you know, then on social media I said stuff. You know, we going back and forth like how it is like in normal relationships. And
No, bro, you put it all out there. Bro, you put laundry out there, my guy. Man, you put it all out there.
I'll be honest, like I say, I put it out. Yeah, yeah. I put it out. You know,
we have a group chat. Everyone's like, "Hurry up, get on Jermaine Jones's group." You are like, you are our spiritual leader. You have no idea.
We're just like, what? Did you see what he posted? Yeah. What is he doing? Why did we try to like break down like? What was he thinking? Why did he post?
I give
this?
You the easy one, like yeah. for that. Like we said, like the divorce thing, so we get this quick done, right?
Yeah.
What happened? It happened, you know. And right. I said it before. The truth will come out.
Okay, yeah.
You know, now it looks funny and looks crazy what yeah. I did, but wait.
But you know what's funny, too? You put us all, you were more important. Your Instagram account was more important. And I feel bad for everyone who didn't get to follow you before you went private because they can't get in now. But it was more important to follow your Instagram account than it was to watch the news or to go on Twitter because you were like, yo, some shit went down. And then you were like in the car, like, nah, I didn't go down. My bad. And then you were like, I found something else. And you were like, oh, no.
Roller coaster.
We were there with you the whole time. And I was like, yo, if that was my homie, I'd come by with a little bit of vodka, a cigar, maybe some brandy. We would solve this all in a minute. Like, you really do.
Trust
put
me,
your
I did that. I did that.
I'm sure. Okay.
But I was sitting up with a friend, you know, and that was maybe my problem.
Yeah, because if you had friends like us, we'd be like, yo, you need to get back on Instagram. Let me get you a battery charger. Let's charge that phone up. Let's get you maybe six phones and a belt.
I'll be honest, like, you know how it is. Like I said before, like, there's emotion stuff, you know, it goes up and down. It's a roller coaster. Some stuff I said, I put it out, and then I figured out, like, at the end, it can be dangerous for me.
Yeah.
So then I deleted it. Yeah. But at the end, it's like I still stand to most of the stuff I said, you know. Yeah. And at the end, it would come out that the stuff I said was right, you know. But we will have to wait, you know. It's like it's a process now, and I can't say it here. I have to go in court with him, you know. I go, and then I'm pretty cool, and I'm really confident that I can win that.
Have you ever heard the term gully?
No.
Are you a hip hop fan?
No, not really.
Okay. There's a term in hip-hop. It wasn't used for a while. Gully means, like, you say what's on your mind. You don't care if someone's going to get, you know, hurt by or, like, if you're going to get in trouble.
Tough, like a tough attitude.
Your
yeah.
tough
yeah.
attitude. You don't give a fuck. You're like, no, this needs to be said. We say we're the gulliest podcast.
Okay.
Because we're gully, right? And it became a whole thing. Because, like, whenever someone would make fun of American soccer, we would jump on it. When you did the rant about the door, we jumped out. Nobody was willing to talk about it. We talked about it. When Kyle Aaron got the DUI, we talked about it. We're gully. We don't care if that means we're not going to get access. The fans want to hear this, so we're going to talk about it. We say where the gully is. Homie, I'm willing to bow down right now and say, dog, you are the gulliest. And I would be honored if you would wear our gulliest shirt. You don't have to wear it now, but would you take our gulliest shirt? Because you are the gulliest of all time in American soccer. Can we get, like, I'm assuming you're a medium here?
Yeah. Let's see. I got to find the size. I'll get it to you.
As soon as we're done, we're going to give it to you.
Yeah.
Dude, you are by far the gulliest. You put your emotions out there. You say how you feel. You don't care the repercussions. You're just the greatest. I want you to know every American soccer fan loves you. Loves you, except for one who plays in Seattle. And whoever got that dog, whoever sold that dog. I bet you even his ex-girlfriend agrees with you now. You know, it's like, if that motherfucker would have went to Germany, maybe we'd still be together.
Well, Jermaine, this has been incredible. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys. Thanks.
Please. And follow us back so we have a way of communicating with you to get you back on the show.
We do our show in New York. If you're ever in New York, you're welcome on our show.
Yeah, we're at Madison Square Garden. It's super professional.
Okay.
You
ever
come to New York?
Yeah, I've been there. Definitely.
I'll take you to get pizza. We'll put a little bit of weight on you.
I'm vegan, man.
You've eaten those vegan slices?
They're vegan slices.
Okay, yeah, then I'm good.
Let's go.
All right. Look at
We're
that.
Going to Scars, baby.
He's like, yo, I talk all this shit on Instagram, but I also don't put that meat in front of me, okay?
Vegan, I'm trying to save the world, okay, baby? Yeah. I'll take all the pepperoni off your slice. How's that sound?
Hey, just look me.
Yeah, you look good.
Look at my stomach. I got two-footed by the eyes.
Jermaine Jones, thank you so much for spending time with the Cooligans, man. It really means the world. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks.
Cheers.
Thanks.
Absolute honor.
Hey. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
What an honor.
Thank you so much.
Holy Lord.
Jermaine Jr. himself.
I mean, look, guys, follow him on Instagram. Maybe he'll allow you in. Also, just, you know,
I want to applaud this man for, you know, I may not agree with how he handles everything, but, you know, to be open and honest. And,
I agree with how he handles every single thing.
Thing.
Okay, on the pitch, off the pitch, on social media, off social media.
And you know what? Look, if you're a Seattle Sounders fan and you're mad at Christian for writing the question I asked about Jermaine Jones' son, what he would do if he got a dog. Again, you know, just email Christian C. Polanco at Soccer Cooligans. Honestly, if tell us what you thought of the interview. You know, we, in a moment like that, we didn't really have a chance to prepare, but we thought we got a lot of fun conversation out of him.
I don't know if you heard it on the interview, but there was a real, like, oh, are we allowed to talk about this feeling of like,
yeah, you and I were treading on
every question. Because again, we didn't have a chance to prepare. So what ended up happening was we were, I think he had done something, I think, on Sirius XM at their booth on Podcast Row.
Right.
And then we had a schedule.
And then everyone who was listening to that woke up. And he came over.
It's great, people. We love you, Jason.
You're the goddamn greatest. Jason's a good
friend.
Thank
you. We love being on the show. It's an honor. But while we had...
it's an honor. Anyway, so what I was saying.
But we had a scheduled interview with Alexi Lalas. Mm-hmm. So we asked Jermaine, hey, would you like to do our show? We didn't know he was going to be there, or we were going to see him, or whatever.
Right. And yo, dead ass, he shows up when Alexi Lalas is on, and I'm almost like, let's wrap up Alexi.
Alexi, we don't need this guy anymore.
We get it.
Nobody's heard of this guy.
We get it. You hate Columbus Crew. Let's get you out of here.
Okay, let's rip off the Band-Aid and get him off the podcast.
Yeah.
So we didn't know. We didn't have that conversation of, yo, if we interview Jermaine Jones, we should ask him about this and this thing and
no,
that.
Is Christian and I flying on the seat of off the seat of our pants and just off the cuff?
Yeah.
And I mean, luckily we both have really good improv skills because we were able to have a pretty good interview. And I think you heard it. I think you heard that we were trying to have a fun conversation more than an interview. And hopefully that comes across. And we absolutely admire Jermaine Jones for choosing our podcast to be the one where he has such an open and honest conversation.
That's right.
And also, it's a sign to all of y'all listening who have your own shows. Thank you for not having the balls to do that, because that's what gives us the lane to do what we do.
What a weird flex. You talk like everyone listening has their own soccer podcast.
No, I'm saying like this. He did other interviews. He did it. And I'm not even talking. Yo, Jason, 100%. Ask the questions up to the point he was allowed to ask. You know?
Okay, yeah.
Jason's that dude. Jason will be like, I'm going to push that line as much as I can. We ain't got no rules. Ain't no FCC over here, baby. You know what I mean? We can ask whatever we want. We can do whatever we want. Our boss ain't around because we ain't got no bosses. And I hope my wife's not listening.
Like, well, yeah. Well, some people might be worried about losing their jobs, but good thing for them.
I'm not even talking about Jason. I'm just talking about,
no,
like,
just in general.
You know, he did a one-on-one, and there's other stuff that happened. Like, there's so many times where he gets an opportunity to be interviewed, and they're not allowed to ask those questions.
Yeah, because they might lose their jobs, and good thing for us, we ain't got no jobs.
We ain't got no job. We're like Tommy and Martin. We ain't got no job,
Cooligans?
Man.
Y'all ain't got no job.
Man, you got no job, man.
Gully this, gully that. Yeah.
Well, we're about to get the step in, but we want to thank Jermaine Jones. Once again, thank you, Jason Davis. I hope you don't think I was talking about you. I'll text you after I say all this. But shouts to everybody else. Shouts to Alexi Lalas. Shouts to everyone who stopped by the booth when we were interviewing Jermaine Jones.
Exactly. So thank you to everyone listening, because it is the fact that you care about this interview. You know, you are one of the select few in America, in the world, that are like Jermaine Jones, this German/American soccer player
slash personality
going through all this drama
slash Real Housewife.
You know, like, if this was an NFL player, NBA player, this would be front page news. And for soccer, we have to be
the
front page.
It's the Cooligans page news.
The Cooligans have to be the front page. So we appreciate that you care about it and you're listening. And all we ask is, like, yo, just share this interview with people. Let people know about the Cooligans. And, like, this is very much a grassroots effort. We don't have some giant conglomerate.
Nah, and you know what would help? Like, if someone happens to be on Reddit post this on Reddit and R Soccer or RMLS.
Yeah.
And upvote it if you see it. Like, those little things, like, we can't do it ourselves because we'll get banned. But we would love if somebody
like
were to share
this. Like Section 101. We don't want to get banned.
Yeah. Sector Latino. We're the Sector Latino.
On Reddit.
On Reddit. And you know how them Reddit boys don't like Latinos. So, yeah. I mean, like, things like that. If you're on something that you think there's people who want to see and or hear this, share this on there. That would be massive for us.
That is all we ask, man. So,
and if you've ever clicked on subscribe, if you've ever did subscribe and then, you know, the next Cooligans episode pops up and you hit on that and you listen to us for at least 30 seconds, anytime you've ever done that, that's what got us to this point.
That's, we call that our 30-second gang. Thank you so much. We appreciate you.
In and out, my guy.
That In and Out burger of podcasts.
That's all good. Goody. Just give us that 30 seconds. That's all we need. All
right, 30 seconds, animal style,
bro. Hell yeah. Yo, double, double. That's all we need. 30 segundos, coño.
So, thank you again for listening to the show, supporting the Cooligans. We're excited about some of the things coming up this year. We have very, very big plans. And this is just, this marks the beginning of just that climb to the top.
This is it. We're ascending.
With that.
Oh,
said,
and no, tell us where to get breakfast tacos in Dallas. Best breakfast tacos in Dallas.
Okay. Well, but yeah, you know what? Because the last time we were in quote unquote Dallas, we really spent a lot of time in Frisco and like Plano. But now we gotta be straight up in.
We're gonna be
Dallas proper.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
And just like the rumor, me and Christian gonna be wearing makeup to bed. You know, that's what they say. Everyone in Dallas, the women in Dallas do. That's what we're gonna do. That's all I know about Dallas.
What are we, like, dance moms that are, like, trying to get their kids prepared for tomorrow's dance?
Let us know where to get breakfast tacos and where to get a good foundation.
Okay. I need a really strong tutu for my performance.
Yeah. I'm more of an earth tone, so keep that in mind.
So, thank you again for listening. My name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!